O God, take our minds and think through them, take our lips and speak through them, and take our hearts and set them on fire. A few summers ago, when I was working as a chaplain in Manhattan, a colleague and friend invited me to Shabbat dinner. Being a novice at navigating the subway, I ran late. Although my friend turned off his cell phone to observe Shabbat, he turned it back on and called me to be sure that I was safe. When I arrived, he explained that he did not simply break the law or a rule, but rather that within the law that guides his life, my safety and well-being was a greater concern than refraining from the use of technology on Shabbat. It reminded me of what I learned from another Jewish friend. The law is to live by, not to die by. That evening, I was invited to share in and was transformed by the reality of a sacred time set aside with sacred people. These encounters with friends transformed the way I understood the law and Jewish people's way of living in relationship to it. My understanding had to be transformed because I had grown up with a broken and hurtful interpretation of scripture called supersessionism, a belief that has prevailed far too much through the history of Christianity, claiming that God has superseded the covenant with the Jews by the work of Christ and the church. This doctrine wreaked havoc throughout centuries, and it was the impetus for untold suffering for Jews at the hands of Christians, all done in the name of God and the gospel. Going along with this belief is usually an interpretation of the Gospels that paints the Jews, and particularly the Pharisees, as legalistic, only concerned with following the letter of the law. This is really unfortunate because it's simply not true, not a fair witness to what we historically know is true, and also because by placing blame on others, we miss the message that it offers us. This misunderstanding has been around for most of Christianity, but it became particularly prevalent after the Reformation. As Martin Luther proclaimed salvation by faith alone, he also painted those who followed the law as trying to earn their salvation through just following the letter of the law. This understanding has been passed down through the centuries, and we often add it back into stories we read in the Gospels, such as the ones we read today. Today's passage from the Gospel includes two different confrontations between Jesus and a group of Pharisees over how to observe the Sabbath. Now first, it's worth pointing out that Jesus and this group have already had a few major disagreements, partly due to the fact that Jesus has already started to make divine claims. I wonder what we would think if someone came into our religious community starting to do the same. Once their skepticism and dislike of this renegade rabbi began, it would have been easy for them to just start looking for anything to criticize, just like we do so often when we have already decided against someone. So this group of Pharisees notices that Jesus' disciples are walking through fields picking grain. This would have violated restrictions on both traveling and harvesting on the Sabbath. And then they meet a man with a withered hand at the synagogue. The question isn't about whether or not it's okay to heal on the Sabbath. If the man had a life-threatening condition, no one would have questioned Jesus healing him. However, the question is why Jesus couldn't wait until the next day, since his condition wasn't life-threatening. But Jesus asks them whether it's lawful to do good or do harm, to save life or to kill. And they do not answer. The way that the Pharisees question Jesus and the way he replies with stories and questions may seem strange to us, but it actually would have been quite normal, everyday life for them. A major part of living by the law was learning to interpret it. The actual law is the one that we are familiar with, to remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy. Leviticus and books of the law added some restrictions to this, but there was still interpretation needed to decide exactly how to follow this law, and that process continues on today. For example, it's clearly not written in scripture that one could not use a cell phone, but my friend and other Jews today have had to interpret that law in order to determine whether or not to use different new technologies on the Sabbath. This kind of interpretation has always gone on. Jesus and the Pharisees were doing it in their day, and Jews still do it today. Now it would be easy to hear all of this and just think of it as wrangling over words and technicalities, but this is not what it is to live by the law. In the Jewish understanding and what we see in Scripture, the law is a gift of God to God's people. The law is a way of living that instructs us on the best way to live, given by the one who would know best, the one who created us. I'll never forget another Jewish friend describing how Shabbat, to him, was as real as that wall over there. For him, living under Shabbat law was not about following rules. It meant living in tune with the reality of sacred time. Not using a cell phone wasn't about following a rule to earn salvation. It was a way of living his life in such a way that he could be fully present with God. The law regarding the Sabbath might be one of the best examples of how the law is made for our own best life. As God rested after creating the world, we are instructed also to take a day of rest each week. This day of rest allows us to recover from the work we do and to restore our bodies and minds and souls in order to devote ourselves again with purpose and passion to taking part in bringing the kingdom of God every day. But that's not all that Sabbath does. Sabbath is also a space where we get to remember who we are. We are God's creation, and while we are co-creators, we are not the creator. The world does not revolve around us. It goes on without us. We were not made strictly to work and to produce. We were made to be in relationship with God and with each other. There is no doubt that the lack of space for Sabbath in our culture is not the way we were created to live. We reward working most of the time for people at every level. For those in respected fields, being extremely busy is a mark of importance. For those working lower wage jobs, working long hours is the only way to survive. Technology keeps us constantly tied to work. With the gift of being able to work anywhere, we have also lost the ability to get away from work anywhere. The rise of freelance work and the seeming likelihood that it will be the way future generations work makes the ability to actually have intentional time away more and more difficult. And when we do have time off of work, it so often just becomes time for different work, for taking care of errands and necessary things at home and in our personal lives. And then when we finally stop, we do so out of sheer exhaustion. We just crash and hope to recover in order to have the energy to start doing it all over again. This is not Sabbath, and it's not the way we were created to live. But because this is the way we live, it's easy to let this become who we are. We become what we do. We become our work. We forget who we are, and we forget whose we are. We don't stop and live into the sacred reality that we are children of God, that we were created out of love, that just because God had a love so huge that it could not be contained, and so God created us to live together eternally. That is who we are, and that is what we are truly here for. And so in order to be who we truly are, we must stop and be in that reality. Perhaps most of us are not currently in a place where we could cut out an entire day of the week to rest. And the truth is, when we're not used to it, even rest can be uncomfortable. But as people of God, we must begin to find ways to live into the reality of who God made us to be. I encourage you to find ways to live into this, whether it's finding an hour a week or 5 minutes a day. Perhaps for you, it's sitting still and remembering who you are, truly resting in the presence of the God who created you. Or perhaps it's finding a new practice that restores your soul, that makes you feel renewed and alive. The work you do is important. Whoever you are, whatever you do, it matters. But no matter how important it is, what the world needs even more is for you to be fully alive, fully the person you were created to be. And the person you were created to be is a child of God who is loved more than you can imagine. You are loved and you were made to love. And the world needs us to fill it with that love. So may we all take time today and this week and the next week and the next to rest in the sacred reality of who we are, D deeply loved children of the one who created us. Amen.